Sister Bethany Madonna relates a story in which last summer she found herself on a plane sitting next to a 19-year-old on her iPhone. Now, Sister was trying hard to practice custody of the eyes, but it was just right there. And so she turns to this girl and she says, "Hey there, what you doing?" And the girl's like, "Checking my Instagram." And Sister was thinking, golden opportunity. I've been dying to know what Instagram was and how it works. So she said to her, "Can you give me an education?" And the girl was like, "Oh, well, Sister, you follow anywhere between like 200 to 500 people." And Sister was like, "What? Excuse me? Like, how in the world?" And she's like, No. Well, it's impossible to keep up with that many people, but at least you're in the loop." Sister then asks, "Well, what does it do for you?" And she goes, "Well, it's the place of affirmation." And she said, "Oh? Well, you know, you see, Sister, well, you post something you like, something you did, or a picture you know where you look good in, and then you wait for people to affirm it." And Sister asks, like, "Well, what do they say?" And she's like, "Like it, looking good, stuff like that." And, "Oh, that's it? Yep." Then the girl said, "But it's also the place of insecurity." And so Sister says, "Okay, well, walk me through that." And then she goes, "Well, you could post something hoping that the guy you like sees it and comments. But if he doesn't, you don't know if he doesn't like it or just didn't see it." Sister then said, "Well, then why don't you just send it to him directly?" "Oh, Sister, you would never do that. So you live just not knowing?" And then she said, "Yeah. So it's a place of affirmation, place of insecurity." So this thought kind of stayed with Sister, and after going through a couple of rough weeks, she was finally able to get herself to confession. And she was just frankly waiting to get it over. And it's been a couple of weeks since my last confession, and just launches into her sins. When she was done, there was this pause at the other end of the screen, and the old priest said something that caught her attention. He said, "Sister, confession is the place of affirmation." Now, nobody but Jesus would have known about that conversation on that plane, because Sister had just posted in confession what is most ugly about her, what she hates about herself, the most humiliating things or things that she wished she could have hid, and all the ways she could have refused to do what God wanted. And after posting her sins and everything that would make her feel insecure, here she was in confession saying, "Look, Jesus, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I need you. I need your love. I need your power. I need your grace." Insecurities. What does he say? In confession, he basically reminds her and us of who we are since our baptism. "You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. And no matter what you have done, in your repentance and in seeking me, I am well pleased." Place of affirmation. You see, we find ourselves in many ways by what we do, rather than in who we are. And this can go for good things like, "I'm an engineer, I'm a doctor, I'm a student, I'm a teacher, I'm a football player, I'm in the drama club," whatever it is. But we also tend to link our identity with our sins as well, or perhaps our past life. And we say, "I'm a liar, I'm a thief, I'm good for nothing." But neither of these answer the question of where our identity is found and gives us the full picture. However, Jesus' baptism, which we celebrate today, shows us not only what takes place when we are baptized, but reveals who we are at our core. Baptism affects a specific indelible mark, meaning it cannot be erased no matter what we try to do or no matter how we try to reject it on our souls. that not only washes away all sin, original and actual sin, but reminds us most importantly of our identity. You are my beloved son or daughter, and with you I am well pleased. St. Paul says in the second reading, when the kindness and generous love of God our Savior appeared, not because of any righteous deeds we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the bath of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This bath of rebirth and renewal, renewal by the Holy Spirit is baptism. And in a unique way, it is also confession, which brings about similar graces at baptism. The church knows that the world and the father of lies, the devil, tries to distort our identity, to make us forget of who we are. So that's why it reminds us of the importance of baptism by placing a holy water fount near the doors of the entrance, so that every time we dip our hands in the holy water and make the sign of the cross over our foreheads, chests, and shoulders, we are reminded of our baptism, who we are, who we are called to be, and who we belong to. Who we are, beloved sons and daughters, who we are called to be, saints, who we belong to, God, our Heavenly Father. Because if we did remember this and realize its importance, it would be difficult to mistreat our relationship with God. We would never use God and others for selfish purposes. We would not desire to answer back always in defense, hurt others by our words and physical actions, hold grudges, gossip, and tear each other down by abuse. We would not pass by our neighbor in need, fail to defend the innocent and the unborn, or care for our elderly parents and grandparents. If we realize this, we would not take God and each other for granted. We would never desire to stain the white garment of holiness we have received in baptism with sin. Yet even if we are or have been guilty of such things, we have no reason to despair. Jesus teaches us even through the place he was baptized, the Jordan, which in Hebrew means very low, since it's below sea level. Jesus stands to be baptized in the lowest place so as to gather back those who feel as if they are the most lowly and despised of the earth, those who feel unloved and unwanted, and those who might be so deep in their sin that they might feel unredeemable, and bring them back to our Heavenly Father. He leads his flock in his arms. He gathers the lambs, carrying them close to his bosom, says Isaiah in the first reading. That's how God acts. But rather than be gathered up in his arms and return home, we often run away. Have any of you heard of Shrek the Sheep? Anybody? No? All right. Like, I'm sure I've been telling this past couple of days, and it's going to go, like, trending on the internet. But Shrek the Sheep became somewhat of a national celebrity in New Zealand. Apparently, it doesn't take much to become one there, but Shrek dodged a shearing from his shepherd for 6 years by running and hiding in a cave. And when they finally caught him, he was so unrecognizable. Think of like woolly mammoth meets abominable puffball. Like, he couldn't see, and he was basically carrying around whatever he walked through, branches and brambles. And then finally, when they gave him a haircut, they had 60 pounds of wool, enough to make 30 coats. And sometimes, isn't that like us? Like, we think, man, I don't want to go through the shearing that the shepherd has because it might be painful. So I run away. But not realizing that this can't see and walk and live our life the way that God intends it to. Sometimes, yes, indeed, we can be like this renegade sheep who runs away from the shepherd because we have forgotten our identity. We have associated and sought affirmation in all the wrong places to people and things that might leave us with more insecurities than we started with. So instead today, may we turn to our Heavenly Father who calls us, who washes us clean in the waters of baptism, and who truly reminds us of who we are. You are my beloved sons and daughters, and in you I am well pleased.